So, welcome. My name is, as Paul said, is Andrew. I have the privilege of leading the team here. We wanted to spend a little bit of time this week just looking at who we are as a church and where we've come from. One of the things that the Lord seems to do often in the Bible is every now and then he says, well, I want you to do things like put 12 stones there and I want you to remember where you came from. And he says it often to the Israelites, I want you to remember where you came from. And a lot of the annual celebrations and festivals that were built into the traditional Jewish year were about remembering where God had called you from. And so it seems to be a scriptural thing that we don't just blindly go on forgetting our past, but we look back and remember, this is where we came from. This is what God said to us. This is what God has done for us. This is where we're going. And we can only really understand where we're going in the light of where we've once been. And so I want to spend a little bit of time just talking about where we've come from or where we're going as a church. And so we are a church called Jubilee Church. We are part of an apostolic or a grouping of churches that led by a number of apostles who gather together under the band of Catalyst, who themselves gather together with a larger group of apostles that cover the world nowadays called New Frontiers. And our history as a church sits very much within New Frontiers as a movement, New Frontiers as an apostolic movement. And when we came here 20 years ago, I think nearly, to start this church and be involved with planting this church, God spoke to us about what we should call ourselves and who we should be. And we took our starting point from a verse or from a chapter of scripture. Can anybody remember what that chapter in the Bible is? Isaiah 61, exactly. And Isaiah 61 is this. It's the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. And so the chapter goes on. I won't go on anymore to read it this morning because we don't have time. But the whole chapter is talking about these things. And it was what Jesus said when he first stood up to proclaim the beginning of his ministry and to start to say, I'm here. And I'm here, and the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to bring good news to the poor. And really what this chapter is saying, and these verses are saying, is that the kingdom of God, this kingdom that Jesus came to brought in, it exists to enable the gracious acts of the King. And the gracious acts of the King are to proclaim the good news, to free those who are in bondage, to heal the sick, to bring social justice to the distressed of the community, as it were. And we, as a church, we follow the King. And therefore, our calling must be the same as the King's. We must be following the King in his calling. Do you understand that? In case you're in any way confused, the King is Jesus. Just thought I'd drop that in. So we follow him because of that. And why Jubilee? Well, really, because it just that last line there, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. Well, in the Old Testament, the year of the Lord's favour was known as the Jubilee year. And so our very name is saying, hey, we're here to proclaim the Jubilee. We're here to proclaim all of these things that Jesus himself stood up and said he was going to do. We have called it and put it deeply within our identity because we want to remind ourselves again and again that the gospel of Jesus Christ is not just repent and be saved. It's not just, here, look, you need to repent, you need to be saved, thank you, well done for saying the prayer, here is your ticket to heaven, now you can move on, and here is your ticket to heaven, oh, well done, you've got a ticket now. It's not just that. That's not what we're about. Solely, actually, we're about advancing the kingdom. And as kingdom people, it's our privilege to join with God as he seeks to advance his kingdom, as he seeks to restore the world back to where it should be. Now, we'll never fulfill that completely in our lifetime or even in this age, because as the more the kingdom advances, the more the world is restored to where God will call it should be, so actually the more will evil arise. And so you'll get this dualism going on to some degree until the point when Jesus returns again and it's all fully restored. But our goal and our calling as a church is to demonstrate again and again and again in every area of the society that we live in, this is the kingdom of God. This is what God is calling to you to. He's not calling you to put your hand up at a meeting. He's calling you to live in a whole new kingdom. And you can live in that kingdom for eternity. And so that's deeply within who we are. It's deeply within our name as a church. Now, we were founded really under apostolic teaching and the prophetic leading. And the apostles kind of give direction and they establish and they set the tone or the flavor of the church. And then prophets kind of speak direction and speak truth into that. But the apostles lay that strong foundation of this is what you're to be like. And 20 years ago or so, God spoke to a guy with clear apostolic gifting, a man called David Devenish, and said to him, look, I want you to plant churches in the Midlands. And that proclamation was itself coming as a result of a prophetic picture that had been given to us as New Frontiers, as a group of churches. In those days, we were a group of churches pretty much down on the south coast of England and a few others here and there, Manchester, India, but mostly on the south coast. And we felt that this prophetic picture came that we should be like a bow, and we should come from South England, we should draw this bow back across the Midlands and across the UK in order that we could fire arrows into the continent of Europe and then further beyond into the rest of the world. So we were based pretty much on that bit that's currently covered up by the arrow in the picture there, and we were to draw back and we were to plant more and more churches in order that we would make disciples, and that we would make disciples who themselves wanted to advance the kingdom of God, not only in the city and the town in which they live, not only in the region with which they live in the UK, but also right across the world. And as part of that, God spoke and said, now plant some churches in the Midlands. And in part of that, God spoke to a number of us and said, now I want you to move to places like Coventry to start these churches, to establish these churches. And so Janice and I, for instance, my wife, we moved here about 20 years ago to be involved in starting that new wave of church planting. And he gave us at that time prophetic words about what sort of church we should be, how we were to be a large church, we'd be a church that sends people to other nations and other cities, how we were to plant other churches, and spoke to us about this is what you're to be. But the foundations of the church, the style of the church, as it were apostolic. They were laid right at the beginning by David Devenish and others, and they have been how we have built. So a foundation is laid, isn't it? And then you build upon it. And it's been what we have been building. So as you come here as a part of Jubilee Church today, whether you've been here for 20 years or a day, actually what you're experiencing has come from what we were laid originally. And our whole structure, our DNA, the way we operate, has continued to be built upon those foundations. But every now and then you have to look back on those foundations and just make sure, are we still being true? Are we still doing what God's called us to do? And so I want to take just the next 20 minutes or so to remind ourselves of what those foundations are and how we are called to build upon them. Now, I've picked out kind of eight of them, really, this morning, which I think cover the key ones. There is who we are in Christ by grace. There is that the church is family, that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, that we are led by an anointed team of leaders, that we are committed to world mission and evangelism, to the rule, we are committed to bringing the kingdom of God, the rule and reign of Jesus into the world. that as a group, as a church, we understand that difficulty is in fact part of the kingdom of God. An advancing kingdom of God does face difficulty. So we don't kind of run away from that. And that we should be and continue to be prophetically guided. So those were the kind of foundations on which we have sought to build this church. And I want to just look at each of those in terms, some in more depth than others. So if you think, oh, he's being a bit long on this one, I might be quicker on some of the others. Or that might have been a quick one and I could be even longer on the others. So here we go. First of all then, who we are in Christ by grace. This really has been the focus of our preaching for the last year, I think, or so, as we've been working our way through Galatians and then starting through Ephesians again and again and again. We've coming up on who you are in Christ, what it is to be in Christ, what it is to be a person who is a son or a daughter of God, fully in love with God, fully loved by God, fully understanding they're accepted by God, not looking to their own performance in order to earn some kind of recognition for God, but knowing fully, no, I'm in Christ, I'm accepted, I'm loved by him. And it's absolutely fundamental that we understand that, that all that we do comes out of who we are in Christ, not out of our desire to impress or our desire to look better than anybody else or our desire to look worse than anybody else if you're a pessimist. No, no, it all comes out of who we are in Christ. Because I'm in Christ, I'm advancing the kingdom of God. Because I'm in Christ, I'm worshipping him. Because I'm in Christ, I have brothers and sisters whom I love. Again and again and again, we have to understand who we are in Christ. And that's why we've looked back at it again this last year or so, reminding ourselves that, no, everything we do comes from who I am as an individual. I need to be saved. I need to be added to the church. But I need to understand what it is to be in Christ. And that breaks away all of that stuff that you kind of put upon yourself or that the devil puts upon you around self-doubt and hatred and all that kind of stuff. And just says, no, no, I'm in Christ. I'm loved by him. I'm a son of God. And so that's the first one that we need to understand because it's a key to us. And everything comes out of that, really. And then secondly, that church is a family. When you come to Jubilee Church, we say, no, no, we are building not an institution. We're not building a kind of another sub-branch of the New Frontiers Church brand or the Catalyst Church brand or whatever it might be. We are a family. And it's important that we get that because God always works this way. God always, you look again and again and again through the Bible, you find God works through family. And in fact, his very name suggests that, doesn't it? When Jesus comes to God, he doesn't say, oh, great president of the universe, or oh, great chief executive officer, or oh, great great marvelous one. He says, Father. He says, Father. God again and again and again refers to himself in family terms. I'm Father, I'm Abba, you're my son or my daughter. And we're building, therefore, something that reflects the way God works. So we're building not an institution with a great president or CEO at the top. We're building a family. And because we're building a family, we do things in slightly different ways to a world who are building an institution. And therefore, we need to approach church in slightly different ways to the way that you would approach an institution. We organise ourselves along family lines and not institutional lines. We don't have great titles to give each other, do we? You don't come across and find, he is the director of worship, the chief executive officer of PA, or the marvellous anointed communications goddess. We don't have those phrases. No, we talk about Sam and Faith and, I don't know, different people. I can't think of anybody else's name. Who are you? We come across in different ways because we don't have these great titles. And therefore, you don't work your way through a leadership hierarchy. I'll come on to that in a minute, actually. We're not essentially an attractional church. So we're not here to entertain the saints who have bought their golden ticket to heaven for an hour on Sunday and make them feel a bit better about themselves. Because that's not what we're about. We're not here to work with the poor because if I do something for the poor, it makes me feel better. No, we're not doing those things. We're doing those things because of who we are as a family. So therefore, we do things like we're part of small groups. We have small groups across every area of church life, and everybody who's a part of the church or the membership says, no, I'm part of a small group. Well, why do we do that? Well, it's so that we can control you more easily. No, it's because, actually, as small groups, it means that's the place where everyone loves, where everyone gives, where everyone has a part to play. It's where we use our gifts to build each other up. It's where we use our gifts to serve each other and to love each other. It means that you become part and fully engaged with the spiritual community in which we live. If we get fed up, we don't just walk away from it because we're a bit fed up and I want to join a different group. No, we work things through. So, which is what a family does, doesn't it? I mean, I've got two sisters. And because I've got two sisters, I learnt when I was growing up what it means to love someone even when they're your sister. And many of you who have had sisters will recognise this. I never had a brother. I'm sure it was completely different. But folks, you're irritating. You're annoying. You're getting right on my nerves and you've taken my toys. But I love you and I care for you and I'm for you and I will never let you down and I will never leave you and I will never let you suffer. I care when you're struggling with your own family. I care when you're sad. I care when you're lonely. I care when your children are having difficulties. I care when you're out of money and you're out of work. I care because you're my sister. I don't just walk away and say, I'm a bit fed up with that sister. I'm going to move on to another sister. You don't do that. You just say, no, I'm with you. Because we're family. And we don't get to choose, but we do get to love. And it's in our small groups, therefore, that we are learning to do these things, not just as places of fellowship, but also places of discipleship, where we together meet under the reign and the rule of our King, and where we learn to hear and obey the voice of God in an atmosphere of grace, where hurting people are comforted, where confused people are helped and guided, where we pray for each other and care for each other. A small group can and should therefore impart a kingdom perspective into your world in a way that we can't do just in this environment on a Sunday, because I can't get to you and find out where you're at, and you can't get to me and find out where I'm at, and you. No, you do that in a small group. Of course you do. And there we learn a kingdom perspective. It's there that we learn to care for and love each other, equipping each other in order that we can be propelled into the city as salt and light. So we're family. We're temple. So as temple, we've looked at this a bit recently, so I won't go into it very much, but essentially, as a temple, we're the dwelling place of God. This is where the Holy Spirit resides, in us, in this place. And we're born again of the Spirit, and we therefore need to be clothed by the presence of the Holy Spirit. We don't come together to sing songs that we hope we like. Actually, we come together in the presence of God himself. Whether it's in our small groups or in our family groups or here on a Sunday morning or in any other context. No, Lord, we expect your presence amongst us. We expect your love and your care and your power to be manifest amongst us. We come to gather around the very presence of God himself manifest through the Holy Spirit. Well, as I said, we've been looking at that recently, so I won't go into it. But just to say, I'm just so pleased that we've been able to gather this term on a Sunday evening and pray for revival. Pray that God would again come and fill us. And so many have gathered saying, no, we want to be full of the presence of God again. We want to be full of the Spirit of God again. We've had some fantastic, wonderful times these last few weeks, just crying out to God and just finding him starting to meet with us and starting to touch us again and starting to enliven us again. Led by anointed leaders. I mean, the point of this really is to say that we lead church as a team. So, I mean, there are three elders here, James, Paul and I, but we're a team. We're not individuals doing our own thing, and we're not a hierarchy together. No, we're a team together. And as a team, we've learned to love each other and care for each other. And some of my greatest friends really have been elders in this church. And we expect God to speak to us and through us, but we do it in the context of team. And actually, that should go all the way through the heart and the life of the church. So in any area where we are needing to lead each other, be it leading in the PA or leading in a small group or leading in the kids' work or whatever it might be, actually we need to be trying to do that in the context of team. It's not just, well, it's your fault, you're the leader. It's us together. How do we make this happen? How do we work this through? And there's a real pressure that comes when you think if I thought I was the leader of this church and everything happened because of me, then I would probably just crumble quite quickly because I'm not really very clever and I'm not really very good. But with a team around me, I can do stuff that I can't do on my own. And it's the same whether you're running the kids' work or whether you're running the PA team or anything else. Actually, we need to be a team. The musicians, we're a team together. And we need to see ourselves as a team working together as brothers and sisters who love each other, who care for each other, and who are working together so that we can not just carry the burden, but so that we can learn this is actually how God works. God works in team, doesn't he? If you don't believe me, then go and study the Trinity. That'll blow your head off if nothing else, won't it? Try and understand. He works in team. And he wants us to work in team. And we do it as leaders. And actually, we should do it across every area of church life in order that we can encourage and help each other to carry the burden, that we can learn to be full of grace and love by bouncing off of each other and helping each other. So, team. Fifthly, then, we're committed to world mission. We want to be committed to evangelism and to world mission because our call is not just to make disciples here in Coventry, but also in the surrounding areas and right across the world. This is what God's spoken to us about. That's about that arrow being drawn back. And God has called us to do that. And so it's so pleased to see that not only things happening well locally, I've been brilliant just being involved with Alpha these last few weeks up at Fargo. It was fantastic to hear of the work in the park the other Saturday morning after the fun run and this desire to provide some family community within the park. It's been great hearing of these things that we're doing, of the stuff that Cafe Jubilee is doing in trying to reach out and hold different explanations of the gospel to different cultures and different people. But also we do that right across other places where we are working. So many of us have been involved in helping other churches, and we've planted other churches and encouraging small groups in locally in places like, Banbury or Redditch. Actually, also overseas. James, Steve and I were in Bosnia 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago now. And it's been great to see all the things that God's been doing amongst them as they've been working apostolically and seeing little groups coming in different towns of new Christians coming and being added together. And we've sought to put in some of these same values into that church there. But not just there, also in Cambodia. And Simon and Becky have been out there, and a few have been out there for a few years. And we've been working for years trying to help this church to establish itself, to put in good values, to put in a good understanding of what God calls us to do. Because we want to bring mission, not just here, not just to, I don't know, the two universities and to the city centre, but right across the region and, in fact, the world. It's a big vision, but God told us to pull the bow back and to fire. We've planted church in France, all sorts of places. Anyway, I haven't got time to go on about that, but it's exciting. But we're committed to it. It's part of who we are. It's not an add-on. And then we're committed also to bring, therefore, the kingdom of God into the whole world. You see, wherever you and I go, we bring the rule and the reign of God into of Jesus into life. We were talking about it just kind of at the beginning, in that sense of wherever you go in the world, actually you bring the reign and the rule of God. You bring it. You bring it. Why? Because you're part of the kingdom of God, and so wherever you go, the kingdom is going with you. And understanding, therefore, that our opportunities to take the rule of Jesus into our work life, our home life, our family life, our neighbourhoods, our social areas, the shops, anywhere, is part of what God has caused us to be. So we don't want to live a life that has got a kind of spiritual department and a secular department, and I'll do my Sunday thing and I'll do thinking about who Jesus is and who God is and get excited. Then on Monday I'll go to work and I'll think about all the work things, and in the evening I'll go to the pub and I'll think about all the pub things. And then we don't do that. No, actually, we say we're bringing the kingdom of God in every area of our lives, and the role of the church, therefore, is to equip us to do that. To help us to do that, to help us to proclaim and to live out the kingdom of God in every area. So people in work or people in our neighbours don't become then kind of targets for us to do the gospel, like some kind of target list or some kind of sales force might have. I've got a target now, I'm going to get to know my neighbours. Why? Well, so that I can put them on my list of people I'm praying for and have something to say at small group. Back. Or I've got this target list of people. No, actually, we want to make friends. And as we make friends, we can demonstrate the love of Jesus. Well, how can you demonstrate the love of Jesus by being friends? Well, because that's what being a friend is. It's loving. It's caring. As we love Jesus, and as we love people, and we love those that we come across, then actually, we'll find that genuine love will get us a genuine ear to hear the gospel. And we want to continue to do that, bringing the kingdom of God into every area. Some of us do things in different ways as well. So we do things on a larger scale as well. So some of us go out on Monday evenings to feed the homeless, or work in the winter night shelter and volunteer to help with winter night shelter. It's why some of us want to affect the city on a wider scale. So it's why we've done things like set up Motorfest. It's why I lead a group of church pastors in the city to pray for the city every couple of weeks and to build together. Because actually we want to build the kingdom of God, but we want to do it by making friends. And so James counts his friends now, people who are in the city's city authorities. I count as my friends now, people who are leading other churches. Paul counts as his friends now, people that he's feeding on a Monday night down in town. These are our friends. And into our friends, of course, we want to bring the city of God. Sorry, I'm talking about, I'm going too far down one route. We'll move on. What are we doing next? Understanding that difficulty is part of the kingdom of God. Right, okay. So if anybody thinks that because you're in the kingdom of God, life is going to be easy and sweet, let me tell you, it ain't. Now, we all say, yeah, I understand that, Andrew. I agree with that. But listen, the important thing is, therefore, when it gets difficult, we don't give up. And that's the harder bit. But if we understand that Paul, Peter, Jesus, anybody else in the Bible, anybody else in history who's made a difference for the kingdom of God has faced opposition because they're advancing the kingdom of God, and they've been effective because they've worked through that opposition rather than running away from it, then you can really start to make a difference. And we as a community need to understand that. We need to understand that sometimes difficulties come about in our lives, and they're not because God doesn't love us, they're not because the church is rubbish, they're because we're in a world battle for a kingdom. And the solution is not to walk away, but to build in. Say, no, Lord, we're going to see your kingdom come. In Acts chapter 4, I think it is, the early church is suffering and they're being persecuted and the Jews want to kill them. And they're saying, oh, what do we do? And they're being told that if you continue to proclaim the kingdom of God, we're going to kill you. and they pray. And their prayer is, Lord, give us boldness to continue to proclaim the kingdom of God, and at the same time, stretch out your hand to heal and to continue doing miraculous things. So they don't say, Lord, take these evil heathen people away from me. Get me out of this terrible, awful circumstance. Let me find a nice tower in somewhere nice and warm that I can go and sit above and be ignored from the world. They say, no, we're going to continue working and proclaiming the kingdom of God. Lord, you stretch out your hand to heal. We need to understand fully and completely, some of our churches that I'm involved with, you know, suffering from persecution, suffering because as they proclaim the kingdom of God, their neighbours turn against them, the city turns against them, and they say, no, we're going to continue to proclaim the kingdom of God because that's what we're about. And it's foundational to us to understand that we don't walk away when things get difficult. We come to Jesus and ask him to help us and equip us and empower us to continue doing all that he has called us to do. And then finally, we are prophetically led. We have our expectation is that we will continue to hear from the Holy Spirit. And that as we hear from the Holy Spirit, we will obey and follow and find things revealed to us. So the church was planted as a result of prophetic leading, bows being pulled back, calls to plant churches in the Midlands. We've done things over the years as we've established ourselves because God's spoken. And God's spoken very, very clearly to us. We've planted churches. We've gone to other nations. We've made changes in the way we do things, even doing things like two services. Because we think, well, no, this is God's spoken. Therefore, we will obey. Even though it doesn't look quite sensible at the moment, I'm not quite sure why we'd do this. We've stepped out in faith. It's why we've done things like, you know, big things that have had impact across the city, like Motorfest and that, because when God spoke to us prophetically, and we said, okay, well, we'll do that then. We're the things that we're doing amongst the poor is because God spoke to us prophetically. So we're going to do that then, and we'll see where God leads us, and we will continue to be those who hear the word of God and expect him to guide us and to lead us and encourage us to help step forward. Now, to do these things, it takes faith, it takes courage, it takes actually being prepared to do things in the long run. But above all, I think it takes family. It takes brothers and sisters in Christ to stand together, knowing that you're together, you're for each other, you're working things out together. I'm so glad that I can call you my brothers and sisters. I'm so glad that I know that I can rely upon you and that we can work together and help and encourage each other. I'm so grateful that we have been and will continue to be a people of faith who say, Lord, where are you taking us? Let's go. I don't understand why it's not as easy as I'd like it to be, but we're going anyway. A people of faith who love each other, who care for each other, who love the King Jesus. So my encouragement for us this morning really is as we've looked back very, very briefly in just 30 minutes or so, is let's continue this journey together. Let's continue to be those who seek after the Lord and love each other, not because it helps us feel better about ourselves as individuals, but because as we do so, Jesus is most glorified. The kingdom of God is most established. The world looks and says, wow, look what you've done. Look what you've done through brothers and sisters who love each other, who care for each other, who watch out for each other, who see the kingdom of God burning in them so strongly that they're prepared to give up all in order that the name of the Lord may be glorified. So I want to just finish there, I think, and ask the musicians to come back. We do these things every now and then to remind ourselves, this is who we are, this is what we're about, this is where we've come from, this is what we're for. We do these things because every now and then we need to say, oh yeah, I remember. I remember. But as I say these things, as I preach these things, you'll find different things will have just kind of reminded you of things and things you've given up on or things you've got a bit cynical about or things you've God spoke to you about but you've forgotten. And I want to just give us some time as we come to worship the Lord to just rethink some of those things, to refocus our thoughts back on Jesus, his kingdom, his glory, his name. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to come. Let's worship him, shall we? Shall we stand?